We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
This morning, we were talking about God's threes and how important God's threes are, and that God is the God of three: the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The God that we have, everything He designs is logical. That is how basically God got hold of me. I was trained as a scientist. I mean, as a kid, I was curious. As I told you this morning, I took everything I could apart. And then I put it all back together, and my mom wanted to sell me to the toy factory simply because I put it back together with half the parts and it worked. But I was curious. Well, then I became a scientist, and I went through school to become a scientist, to become a geologist, and they taught me one thing: logic. It has to be logical. If it isn't logical, it's not scientific. Well, that was one of the biggest stumbling blocks I had with God, because I didn't think God was logical. I thought God was a myth, God was this, God was that, Jesus was this great teacher that lived on the earth, but it wasn't logical. So in my quest to become a Christian and to grow, I went the opposite direction. I knew something bigger had to have created this universe. Everything was too perfect. So I went the way of trying to prove who or what it was. Well, God grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, and He showed me all the way back to where He is. And God proved to me, a scientist, that our Lord in heaven is more logical than any scientist could ever be in his life. There you go, Simon. I moved over just for you.
Thank you.
Just for Simon. We've got to keep Simon happy. He's under stress. He is working on redecorating his house. I have done that before. It can drive a man insane. We have to keep Simon happy. So let's... Where did I lose control there?
Don't look at me.
Okay. It's a rowdy crowd, Lord, protect me. Well, you notice I took my armor off. I don't have my suit jacket, so I'm defenseless now. Let's go back to where we ended. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9. We have to understand in the thinking of God's threes, and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of scriptures. So I'm going to try, if I start going through them too fast or something, just go, whoa, and we'll back up. But I've got to, you know, this is just the scriptures. There's nothing else on here but scriptures. So I wanted to give you these scriptures so you can look for yourself and you can get an idea what the Lord was showing me, how to be blessed. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Okay, right here, we've already established that we have to honor the Lord with both our possessions, our substance, and our first fruits offering. Now, first fruits offering, we're going to go through and get in a little more detail, but I'm going to give you a little verse on each thing. Your substance is what your tithe and offering comes out of, like we were taught this morning. It's what your tithe and offering comes out of. Your first fruit's totally different. Bear in mind now, we're going to break these three into two little groups. But the substance is where this comes from, your tithe and offering, then your first fruit. But He says, when you do this, your barns will be filled with plenty. No longer at this point is Solomon, and we have to give this man, he was the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. This has to be true. It's in God's book. It has to be true. So he says, your barns will be filled with plenty. No longer are we dealing with your houses, like in Malachi chapter 3, your houses will have meat in them. You'll be fed. Your barns now will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, Proverbs, for the old school, Solomon wasn't saying that if you give a first fruit offering, you're going to have all the alcohol you'll ever need. Okay? That wasn't what he was saying. Wine here, wine is a symbol. The symbolism of your spiritualness. Okay? So you have to think that your vats, your body, will be filled to overflowing or bursting with. So not only in the tithe are you going to have the windows open, be able to go back and see back and forth, but now when the first fruit comes, your barns, which is where we store our grains, our food, our supplies, our cattle, everything. You go out on a farm, almost everything a farmer needs is stored in those barns. Then the vats, you will be overflowing to bursting. Let's go on and look at how God looks at the offerings. We've got to go through the Old Testament here, so let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Is that going too fast? And I shot myself all the way into Numbers. Okay, Leviticus, if somebody gets there before I do. Okay, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. All of the tithe of the land and the grain of the field and the fruits of the trees is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, he adds something that we'll go on in a minute, but gather that. All of the tithe of the land, of the grain, the field, the fruit of the trees is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, he puts in a provision here. He says in the next, he says, if any man wants to buy his tithe, he must add its fifth to it. So, what did God just say? He said, the tithe is holy. It's mine. He says, but if somebody wants to buy it, that's fine. You give me 15% for it. He says, you have to add one-fifth. So if you want to steal the tithe from God or buy the tithe from God, he wants 15% for it. Now, if you think about that and think what that could mean, and I haven't studied that in depth, but why does people that don't tithe can't pay the bills? Why do they never seem to get ahead? Why do they not break even? Well, if God is saying to his people, you can have my tithe, but I'm going to require 5% more, or a fifth more, and actually a fifth more and 120%. That's why you never get ahead if you don't give God what is God's. Because God's saying, I'm going to take that much more back from you. Think about it. Think about it, and then we'll go on. See, I'm just giving you verses. I want you to digest these. I want you to take time and go and really start digging through and digest these, because these are important keys. The trees of God is a very important key, because that's the way God works. But the trees of the offerings are important for us as Christians, because that's how Christians prosper, the trees. If we do anything of God tells us to do, we have to do everything he tells us to do. You can't be saved if you hear and believe and never repent of anything you've ever done. We can't have light at night if we have the sun and the moon, but when the moon's on the backside of the earth, there's absolutely no stars. We can't have the Holy Trinity if we live anybody out. If God has God and the Holy Ghost, you and I aren't saved, because Jesus isn't there. You can't take out one of the trees and still have it. It just don't work. You have to have the formula. Or as a pastor that I was listening to one day, and the first time I ever heard him say this drove me nuts, he says, you got to know how to work it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, we got to know how to work God? What's wrong with this picture? But he didn't mean you had to know how to work God. You had to know how to work what God was telling us how to do it. God wants us as Christians to be on top of the thing, to know what goes where. It's kind of like Cruz. If you give him a bunch of building blocks and poor Cruz starts out with the teeniest one at the bottom and starts up, it's going to collapse pretty darn soon. But if he's smart enough to take a big old block and put it at the bottom, he can keep going for a long time. The same thing with God. If we take the word that he gives us and we apply it and we add to it and we have the right foundation of what he says, things are going to fall into place that are just going to blow our minds. I mean, they're just going to, things are just going to go that we won't even be able to think about. You were telling me something I was going to, my mind went, I had something I wanted to share with you tonight, and my mind's gone blank. Ah, thank God Bob's not here, or I'm sure he'd have something to say about that. Okay, let's go. Leviticus 23, verses 9 and 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, say to the people of Israel, when you come unto the land which I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest. Now, we have to go on a little further, but remember this morning what I was saying about Jericho being the first fruits. God said, you can have the city, but don't touch anything inside. It's all mine. Don't take it. Well, they took it, and what happened? I mean, we're talking fire and brimstone and a pile of dirt a mile high just to kind of cover this up. So it's God says here, tell Moses, when you have come into the land which I gave you, and you harvest its crop, bring the first sheaf of your harvest to the priest. Now, since he's saying, when you come into the land that I gave you, and you harvest its crop, what's God talking about? He's talking right then, isn't he? He's not talking 10 years. He didn't say, when you come into the land I gave you and you harvest its crop next year. He said, when you harvest its crop, you give the first fruit of the sheaf. You give me that first increase. Because when they first came into that land, think about it. The Israelites, when they first came into that land, had what? What they could carry on their backs. After 40 years in the desert, wandering around and around and around, you know, we see the movie Moses, and we see these gigantic carts of gold and silver and things they took with them. Now, do you believe, honestly believe, after 40 years of wandering around the desert, they are still pulling every one of them carts? I got a feel. I know if it was me after 40 years of wandering around in that desert, my clothes weren't falling apart, my shoes weren't falling off, and my feet weren't swelling, I surely wouldn't be dragging a cart. And they probably weren't either. When they came in, the manna stopped, and they were in their land. And God said, okay, now, here's what I want you to do. You tell them, they give me that first fruit. I will go on from here. Who shall, of the harvest unto the priest, remember that, bring the first sheaf of your harvest unto the priest, stick that in the back of your head, I'll pull it out later. Who shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to render you acceptable? And on the morning after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and on the day of the waving of the sheaf, you shall offer a flawless yearling lamb for a burnt offering to the Lord, and accompanied with a food offering. Okay? We keep going down, and it says, this shall be an ordinance for your successive generations in all your dwellings. So what did God say there? It says, this first fruit, I'm establishing it. It's going to be an ordinance forever. This is not something I'm going to take back. This is an ordinance that I am establishing for your successive generations in all of your dwellings. So God, in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9, has ordered Moses the first fruit offering. He says, this is an ordinance. Now, for those of you that are still a slight little bit confused on God's trees, let's go over to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter 12, verse 43 and 45, through 45. Now, I have a question for you after I read this. And on that day, let's go, I think 43 I want to read. Yeah, on 43, and they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. The joy of Jerusalem was heard far off. And on that day were appointed over the chambers of the stores and the contributions and the first fruits and the tithes to gather them in the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites according to the fields and towns. Now, if you still had a question in your mind about tithes, offerings, and first fruits, and your tithes being of your first fruits, then why would they appoint special officers to oversee the storehouse, the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes? Three separate. There are bands in every one of those. It's not they appointed an officer to look after the storehouse, offering, tithes, and first fruits. It's they appointed an officer or men over the chambers of the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes. So the three separate. That's Nehemiah 12, 43 through 45. God had them anoint people over each one of these three. God's three. There's three separate offerings. Now, since we're looking at the first fruit, let's go to Ezekiel. You guys are going to get a Bible tour all over tonight. We'll even be in the New Testament before we're done. Ezekiel chapter 48. Verse 14. 48:14. And they shall not sell, and this is talking about the priests, okay? The first fruit offering, as I said, put it in the back of your head, pull it out, it goes to who? It goes to the priest. Priest, i.e., the man of God. Now, we don't have priests today. The only priest we have is one high priest, that's Jesus. Okay? So the first fruits offering, we'll get to that a little bit later. So here's where we are, and he's talking about the priest. They shall not sell or exchange any of it. They shall not alienate this choice portion of the land, for it is what? It is holy unto the Lord. Now, this is the first fruit offering that has been given to the priests, the Levites. And God is telling the Levites, don't you sell any of this grain. Don't you sell any of this food. Don't you alienate it, because it is holy unto the Lord. That first fruit offering is holy unto the Lord. Now let's go to Exodus. While we're in Exodus, we'll stay here for a minute. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23:19. So I'm so glad for evening services, because I could have never covered all these verses this morning. Exodus. I went too far. 23:19. Okay. Wrong verse. Oh, Exodus. I'm still in Ezekiel. Excuse me. I'm like, okay, I'm losing my mind. I'm still in Ezekiel, and I'm thinking, what has a harlot got to do with God's first fruit? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, but if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be in deep trouble. 23:19, The first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. He says it again, and God always tells us three times. I haven't found the third. He says it here twice. Go to 34:26. He says the same thing. 34:26. God's trying to emphasize here. He says, and the first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of your Lord. If you own a plot of ground, and you buy it, it's covered with sagebrush, and you enlarge this ground, and you plant it, and you've never had a crop on it before, that crop is your first fruit. But then, if the next year you enlarge it bigger, what is new is the first fruit, and the old you get to keep. See? God's first fruit is an enlarging. It's an adding. It's a giving. It's a bigger. It's first fruit doesn't come as an offering because you feel it in your heart, because you feel a necessity to help someone. The first fruit comes only from an increase that God has given you. And if you don't believe an increase is from God, then you're not going to want to give it back to Him. So that's why I say it's only from an increase that God has given you. If the first year you plant this ground, and the first year's crop you give to God because you feel that ground came from God, that's your first fruit offering. The second year, God expands you to the point where you have 5 acres instead of 2. Well, your first fruit offering is what came off the 3 acres, and you get to keep the 2. If the third year God gives you 10, you get to keep that 7, and those 3 acres extra is God's because it's the first fruit from that acreage. That's the growth. And that's what the first fruit is. And hopefully by the time we get through all of this, you'll see. Just like this morning with the promised land. God said here in Leviticus, which we've already read, Leviticus 23:9, He told Moses, tell them when you enter into the land, give me the first fruit of the harvest. Okay? But God didn't say, give me the first fruit of that harvest every year. So when the Israelites entered into the land and each one got their portion, that first fruit of that first harvest was God's. He ordained it as holy. But the next year, it was all theirs, except what the tithe and the God that they were led to offer. But it was theirs, their increase. And what did it cost them? Besides 40 years wandering the desert, I mean, what did it really cost them? Nothing. If the Israelites had left Egypt, kept their eyes on Moses and God, wandered straight to the promised land, and entered into the promised land, they would have never had 40 years of wandering. And what would it have cost them? God gave them food, God gave them water, God gave them shade, God gave them sun, God gave them fire at night to keep them warm, God kept their shoes from wearing out, God kept their clothes. They walked into the promised land, and the only thing it cost them was God said, give me the first fruit. The first city you conquer belongs to me. I've made it accursed. You touch it, you're accursed. It's mine. It's holy. Everything after that belongs to you. Now, it cost the Israelites, in reality, 36 men because they didn't listen to God. But had they listened to God and not robbed God of His first fruit, those 36 men never would have died. They would have gone from Israel straight in, got the promised land, knocked out Jericho, and everything from then on in belonged to them. Nothing. Cost them nothing. That's the idea of the first fruit. It's from God. It's an increase from God, and it's just like I said this morning. If you're making $100 a month, and you suddenly make $200 a month, well, that first month, it belongs to God. It's a first fruit offering. You've never had it. How can you miss it? How can you miss something you've never had? God makes it so beautiful that the first fruit is an increase only. So you can't miss what you've never had. If you get a new job that's paying you 10 times what you had, that first month you've never had that, you give it straight to God, and the rest of it's yours, except for the tithe and the offering off of it. And God's given you something you never had, and He's letting you give something to Him that has never been yours. And when you do it, you'll find that it's going to come back around, and you'll see another increase. Mary and I learned this thing. We had to learn it the hard way because God kind of beats things into the side of my head. But Mary and I have learned it, and our businesses in 2 years increased 5-fold. And it looks like there's no stopping it. I mean, now she's opening an art gallery, and I mean, the Lord increases you. And it's not anything you can do. Jay is not smart enough. I'm not that good of a businessman. I'm not that good at what I do. Hopefully I'm a decent preacher, and he'll use me. But in business, I do my best for the Lord, and he gives me the rest. And it's the same thing with you guys. And when it comes to the first fruit offering, it has nothing to do with you. God honors you. He sees that you tithe. Now, here's the thing that you'll note. If you're not already an avid tither, and if you're not giving offerings when the Lord tells you to, the odds are you won't see the increase for the first fruit. Because God gives us as He can trust us. Okay? God will increase you as He knows you can handle it.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.